Blog Talk Radio.
It is 9 p.m. It is December 8th, and the Knicks are on a three-game winning streak. Welcome to another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Riceballs Donnie, with you. Going to take you up until 10 o'clock, and if you can tell the pep in my voice, the excitement in my voice, is because over the last week, the Knicks have only lost one game. The Knicks have won four of the last five. The Knicks are playing some good basketball. The New York Knicks are playing some defense. The New York Knicks are making shots. Will this continue? I have no idea. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by New York Knicks starting guard slash forward Wilson Chandler live here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Anthony Downey with Tony Riceball is with you. Going to take you up until 10 o'clock here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Get a little calls in a little bit. 646-478-5554. Rice with you. Going to take you up until 10. Now, you look at the wins. They, you know, they definitely caught a Blazer team. You know, not play. You know, losing Brandon Roy. Excuse me, Brandon Roy was there and he played good basketball last night. Losing Greg Oden for the season. What a devastating injury in the first 3 years of Greg Oden's career. He's only played, you know, after this year is up, in his first 3 years, he's only going to play one full season, and he's still young enough where he can definitely resurrect his career. But man, gotta feel bad for Greg Oden, the kid. He's worked so hard to get back to where he was. Seems like a genuine guy, and you got to feel bad. But, you know, even without Greg Oden, you know, Rudy Fernandez is out 4 to 6 weeks with a bad back. Blazers are still a pretty good basketball team. Hell, I mean, their coach is even out. The coach tore his ACL the other day in practice, so, and that's Nate McMillan. He didn't make the road trip with the Blazers. But either or, still a good win for the New York Knicks. And we're the New York Knicks, and you started out 1-9 playing, you know, basically awful basketball the first almost whole month of the season. You'll take wins against anybody you can get. 646-478-5554 is the number. TKB Radio, TheKnicksBlog.com. Rice with you, going to take you up until 10. We'll be joined by Wilson Chandler from the New York Knicks starting guard slash forward in a few minutes here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Now, if you're a Knicks fan, and if you know the Knicks like myself, like you listening here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks have done this before over the years. They've won a few games in a row and then have, you know, lost 10 in a row. So, you know, the Knicks have a few winnable games coming up. They definitely do. With Friday in New Orleans, although the Hornets are definitely playing better basketball, then they go to Chicago, then Charlotte. So, you know, those are definitely some winnable games for the New York Knicks. And right now, on the line with us here on TKB Radio, starting guard slash forward and a pal of mine, number 21 for the New York Knicks, Wilson Chandler. Ill Will, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Thanks for taking the time to come on with me, as always, man. And Will, you know, it's been a rough few years, and anytime you can get a couple wins like the Knicks had the last week, winning four of the last five, it's definitely a good thing, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely good. We've been playing as a team, just playing up and down, running that style of play that, you know, D'Antoni likes. So, you know, I think we're coming together as a team, you know.
No, definitely. I definitely see that. And then this is probably a dumb question. And besides losing, obviously, first 10 games, well, obviously it wasn't pretty, starting off 1-9. Besides maybe, you know, everything, not to be funny, what was going wrong those first 10 games, Will?
I don't know what was going wrong, you know, but we just wasn't executing on, you know, offensive and defensive both ends. But I can't say that, you know, we did anything wrong, because I think we playing the same way. I think we just, just gelled as a team. You know, we playing more team basketball on both ends. We playing team defense. We moving the ball.
when you guys lost to Golden State Warriors, the record went to 1-9. What was the spirit to the team? Obviously, guys are probably upset. The coaching staff, Mike D'Antoni, is probably upset. Fans are upset. How did you guys, you know, stay focused and stay positive? Because since then, you guys have played 500 basketball, and including winning 4 of the last 5.
I know, you know, when you lose like that, you know, everybody's upset. Like you said, the fans, coaches, players. But, you know, as players, you know, we got to just stay focused as a team. You know, don't let nobody get in between that. Don't, you know, people tend, when they lose, they tend to shy away from their teammates. So we just, you know, we had to stick together like a family.
How was Mike D'Antoni? I mean, how has Mike D'Antoni been in year two as the coach of the New York Knicks, from training camp to the first 10 games to even to the last 12?
I mean, he's the same guy. You know, you got to love coach, you know. Never too high, never too down. You know, he wants us to win. I mean, he has the winning spirit, you know, and he has won in previous years with Phoenix. So, you know, he's a winning coach. So, you know, he's disappointed by, you know, our record. You know, but like you said, we've been playing better, you know, and we can just pick things up, you know, in the next few games. And, you know, we still have a chance to make the playoffs. So that's definitely not the question.
Oh, definitely. We're only 2 games behind, talking to Wilson Chandler right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Anthony Donahue with you. Going to take you up until 10 o'clock, and in a little bit, we'll definitely get into some music stuff with Will. I'd like to talk, definitely a lot, like to talk music with Will. And one thing, when I posted on the website and my Facebook page and Twitter that you were coming on, a lot of fans messaged me and they said, man, you got to ask Will, how come he's not driving to the basket as much as last year? And I got you on the line, Will. And, you know, I've noticed you haven't driven to the hole as much as you did last year. Is that because of the ankle, or is that you just getting fit into the offense and different systems and different plays? And why is that, Will?
I just had to find that rhythm again. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a different rhythm when you had a whole summer off. But now, you know, I'm starting to, you know, drive to the basket more, get more comfortable, you know. So I just been, you know, just playing my game lately.
Oh, yeah, no, I've noticed a big difference. You know, was the ankle not 100% when the season first started, Will?
No, it's not the ankle. Just, you know, it's just hard finding the rhythm when you haven't, you know, been able to, you know, to play.
Yeah, I noticed definitely you've been playing a lot better, Will. And how about, you're starting at the shooting guard position, but for the most games you're playing the 3 and the 4 because usually Larry comes in playing the 2. How do you feel about playing shooting guard? And I know that's not a position you never really played. How are you adjusting to that?
Just try to play hard no matter what, you know.
And you're a team guy, so if the coach says get out there and play point guard or center, Will, I mean, you're going to do it, right?
Yes.
Definitely. That's what I'd like to hear, Will. And also, Eddie Curry, man, did you – Now, he was working out. Now he got to training camp, media day. I mean, did you recognize him?
Nah, I mean, that guy
looked like, you know, Black Phil Burris.
Yeah, he's been in the gym hard lately. So, you know, you got to just give him the respect, you know, because he's trying, you know. And it's hard, you know. Sometimes, you know, every day it doesn't go the way you plan it to go. So, you know, you just got to stay focused, you know, and I support him 100%.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always said about Eddie. Everybody knows I've always backed Eddie. And, you know, whatever has happened in Eddie's life, you know, whether it's his fault or not, you know, you could say he dug his own grave regardless of whose fault it was. But what I do respect, Will, is anybody that was down that much and not to give up. He easily could have thrown his towel, took his money, and left the league next year. He didn't give up. He lost, you know, almost the whole person. And he's busted his tail trying to get back and help this team.
Yeah.
And when he's back, and it looks like he's going to play Friday, he played a few games a few weeks ago, how much can Eddie help this team, and how much of a factor will he be with the Knicks?
I mean, just a few years ago, he was a 20-point guy. So, you know, when he gets back like that, in that kind of shape, I mean, there's no telling this, you know, sky's the limit for the guy. So, he can help us out a lot.
You know what I noticed about Eddie, Will? I'm not sure if you noticed. You probably did from, you know, either be on the court or on the bench. I noticed he looks like he's got a little mean streak in him now. And, Will, I like that. Because I noticed over the years, sometimes Eddie would maybe get pushed around a little bit. You know, he got in a couple of tussles already in his first few games back. I'm like, all right, Eddie, get nasty a little bit. You know, you're the big man. You know, throw some people around.
We have a few rough years like that. I mean, you know, you can't help but to get a little, you know, that kind of swagger about yourself.
No, definitely. And I've always said if he lost, you know, a lot of weight and him play hard, he could definitely help the team. And, you know, one thing I got to ask you about, something that's been going on the team, I'm not trying to be a typical media guy or get a story, but I got to ask you, Will, the situation going on with Nate Robinson, I know that's your boy, and I like Nate. I've known Nate since he's been here in 05. He actually came on my show back when I was 21 years old. He came on me in Seattle. And, you know, obviously there's a thing going on with him and coach, and a lot of the guys that cover the team, I don't cover the team, saying that, you know, he's that much of a problem. And here's the thing about what I think. I look at LeBron James, and I don't know if you saw it. You see the other night when he was dancing on the court when the play was going on?
Yes.
Now, obviously, there's no doubt. Nate definitely has fun. He dances and stuff. If the Knicks are 15-7, that's probably not a problem, right? Well, it just comes down to when you're losing, that stuff gets magnified. Is that what you think it is?
I have, like, the situation between Coach and Nate, you know, that's pretty personal. So I don't even know if there's a situation or if the media is making it like it's a situation. So
I don't even know, to be honest. I'm more of a fan. I just didn't do a show.
So I'm like everybody. I don't know. I don't think they have a problem. Actually, I think, you know, it just, you know, everybody goes with Al was starting, and he didn't start. You know, it's just the rotations, you know, and he might play next game. You know, just, you know how Coach is with the rotations and who we feel is better on the court with certain other players, you know, and, you know, so, you know, you never know what the, it could be that, so you never know.
Yeah, and one thing on the second part of the question, like I said, not trying to start anything here at all, but to me, I watch the guys, and it seems like everybody likes Nate. I like Nate. He's a good guy, and sometimes people try to say that he's this outcast in the locker room, but me, I'm not with you guys, but I don't really see that, Will, and that's not the case, right?
No, not at all. I mean, Nate's a great guy.
No, definitely. And like I said, did you see what LeBron – actually, did you see what LeBron was doing the other night?
I didn't see it live. I seen it during ESPN. You know,
yeah,
I seen the highlights.
When I first saw it, I didn't realize that the play was going on when he was boogieing down on the sidelines.
I mean, but, you know, when you win like that and you're a great player like that, I mean, you know, you can do a lot of things. Cause, you built that respect. You earned it.
Oh, definitely. I love what the Cavs do. You see what the Cavs do before the games. Is obviously, they all love each other. They love LeBron, and I think they obviously have a camaraderie. And I think if you are you guys getting to that point, Will, where everybody is cool with each other, and especially, and obviously that's something that winning brings, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think everybody on our team wants to win. So no matter what it takes, you know, I think sacrifices can be made. I think sacrifices will be made, you know. I'm pretty sure, you know, players like to be, you know, doing other things, you know, within a team. But, you know, when you losing, you doing that, I mean, it's different. But when you winning, when you sacrificing to win, that's, I mean, it's nothing better.
How hungry are you guys, Will? I mean, it's been a rough 8-9 years way before you got here. How hungry are you guys?
I mean, very hungry. Just to prove everybody wrong, you know, just to get out and just play hard, you know, and just get the wins, you know, no matter what.
How last year, I know that your first few years in the league, well, a guy like Hugh Rich was a big influence on you, and Hugh's down in Miami now. Have you grown more as a veteran now to the younger guys on the team, or is there somebody that, you know, you've looked up to now on the Knicks right now?
I mean, everybody just, I think with this year, well, not this year, but lately, everybody just is just talking to each other, no matter veteran, rookie, you know. I think everybody's being more supportive of one another, so, you know, I think that helps a lot, too. Because, you know, sometimes a veteran can be stubborn. So, you know, for a veteran to take advice from rookies and rookies, you know, take advice from veterans, and everybody just look at each other as teammates and just don't take criticism as a disrespect. And just gel as a team, you know.
And you know a veteran I like to ask you about? I've actually got a chance to talk to him a little bit over the last few weeks, and he's actually a very nice guy, very pleasant. A guy who, if I would believe stories, I would hear he's a jerk, and I watch him on the court. Larry Hughes, a guy who was, you know, said he was married. He's playing some of the best ball on the team, Will, and he seems to be like a pretty good guy, and seems to be like a leader in the locker room too.
Nah, he's not a jerk at all. I mean,
no, I didn't.
When you're a quiet person and you stay to yourself, I mean, people can make up a lot of stories about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's what I read. I'm like, he's coming on the show tomorrow. Well, this guy, I love Larry. He is a cool dude.
Yeah, I mean, nah, he's definitely one of the brightest spots in the Knicks lineup right now, you know. And you just got to respect a guy like Larry because, you know, he's never a different person. He's always the same all the time, 24/7. So, I mean, like, for me, like, he doesn't talk a whole lot, but just by the way he carries himself and the way he you know, gets ready for the game, you know, you just look at him like, I want to be more like that because he's professional.
Yeah, you know what happens, Will, is I never believe a story when I read it. I always want to meet a guy. If someone says, oh, this guy is this type of person, I want to meet that person first. And, you know, there was all this Larry's a whiner, or Larry's this. And I look at Larry, he looks to me like you just said, one of the most professional guys on the team and a guy who's been through a lot in life, been in the league for a while. And, hey, the guy can still play pretty good basketball.
So can you repeat that again, please?
Oh, what I was saying was, you know, throughout the summer and when the Knicks first got Larry Hughes, you read all these articles. I mean, you probably don't read the papers, right, Will? Like, you probably stay away from that stuff.
I try to stay away from as much as I can.
So I might read an article that says, oh, Larry Hughes was a whiny guy or this or that. And then he comes to the Knicks, I'm like, this guy's one of my favorite players in the team. And the fact that he still plays pretty good basketball.
Yes, yes. Being, you know, like I said, you know, people make up a lot of things about you. But you never know a guy until you get to know him personally. So, you know, you just can't judge a cover by his book. I mean, book
about,
by his cover.
Tell me and the fans something about Jordan Hill, because obviously we haven't seen much of him. We've seen a lot more of Tony Douglas. Tell us something about Jordan Hill when he eventually starts getting time. What are we going to see from Jordan, you think?
I mean, Jordan is very talented. You know,
can you compare him to somebody?
You said, what's that?
Could you compare him to somebody in the league?
Could I compare him to somebody? I mean, I think he can be a Chris Bosh type of player.
Not bad. Chris Bosh is pretty good.
Yeah, I think he has the capability to be a Chris Bosh.
How about Tony Douglas? He's a guy who's gotten a lot of run. He looks pretty good on the basketball court, huh? And he seems like he has leadership qualities as well.
Yes, he's like one of the, you know, like a Darrell Armstrong kind of guy. You know, like, you know, a great player who's going to be a great leader one day.
No, definitely, he definitely does. And talking to Wilson Chandler right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Got the Hornets on Friday night. When you go to get a team like the Hornets, I mean, is there a way to stop Chris Paul, or do you try to stop everybody else and let CP do what he does?
I mean, basically, you just try to make everything tough. I mean, you can't say you're going to go into a game and you're just going to stop this player or that player. You just make everything they do tough. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just make limit their touches. Try to make every shot they take a hard shot. Just, you know, just try to make everything they do tough.
Since you guys start off with, you know, not the greatest record in the world, and you guys are definitely climbing closer to 500 now, I remember Al Harrington talking about he wanted to break the games up into games five increments. Have you guys, like, set a goal, all right, we're at this point now, we want to get to this point by a certain date or something like that, or you guys just taking it one game at a time?
We're just taking it one game at a time. We want to get as much wins as we can. You know, we just look at the next game. Like, we're focusing on the Hornets, and then after that game is over, we're focusing on Charlotte. So we're just going
to
do it like that.
That's definitely
take one game at a time.
Definitely the way to go. Talking with Wilson Chandler right here on TheKnicksBlog.com. Will, stick with me for a few minutes. And this is, you know, probably another silly, no, not a silly question, but do you believe that this, you know, the Knicks can turn this around and, you know, get the Garden rocking soon, like it should be? Just be like, we're going all the way. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean. When you're a team like us, you know, and you lose a few games, you can't say that it's over. You just can't do that. Even if it is over, you gotta look at every game. Like, you gotta, if we was out of the playoffs tomorrow, we still gotta look at the rest of the games. Like, we gotta win these games.
No, definitely. And one guy I want to ask you about, we'll get into some other stuff in a few minutes, is Jared Jeffries. Guy gets dogged on by a lot of fans because, you know, sometimes he'll miss a lot of layups and stuff, and he gets hurt quite a bit, but he's been excellent the last few weeks. Takes a, you know, a bunch of charges a game, plays excellent defense, things you don't see in the stat sheet.
Yeah, I mean, you can say whatever you want to say about Jared, but he's a team guy. You know, he does a lot of the dirty work that other players wouldn't do. He does the charges. You got to guard the best player on the team, the block shots, you know, the help defense. You know, he does a lot. I mean, you know, I think he's underappreciated sometimes.
Will, what's the best part about being a New York Knick? Besides getting to know me over the years.
Just being in the city, man. New York is a wonderful city, and the Garden is a wonderful place to play at. So I think being here is something special about it. And, you know, and if we, you know, when we start winning more, then it's definitely going to be, you know, even better.
What's your favorite place in New York City besides the Garden?
Favorite place in New York City?
Favorite place to walk around, favorite place to have a meal. Like, what are Wilson Chandler's favorite places to go and things to do in the city?
My favorite place to have a meal? I have a few places. I can't name just one. I like Felipe Chow. I like Benny Hyman's good spot. BLT Steak place is pretty good.
You ever been to Edo? It's in Pelham, it's right by, you're probably up in Westchester, it's a Japanese place called Edo. You been there?
No, I never.
It's in Pelham, you should check that place out, Will, that's really good.
Okay, I will.
Alright, well, now we gotta talk something that's really beloved to your heart and my heart. We gotta talk some music when I got you on the show.
It's music, okay.
I know you love music, so now, I guess, I know, I'm a little older than you, I'm 26, I feel like with a lot of the new hip-hop, I've kind of fallen off, and sometimes when I got in the car, or I'm in the gym, I just put like the 90s on my iPod. What's out right now that you're playing a lot? I know for me, it's the new Fabulous, the new Jay-Z. What about you, Will? What's the new stuff you're playing right now?
Ah, man. As far as just like good albums so far, I think Jay-Z, of course, has a good album. You know, that's Jay-Z. Like you said, Fabulous new album is pretty good. But you know, I had a chance to go to the studio with Lloyd Banks and Jewel to hear some of the new stuff that's not out yet. So, I mean, I think both of those guys are going to have great albums.
Did you like the new Raekwon album?
Oh, yeah. I found just to say that. I love the album. That's pretty. I think, as far as lyrics go, I think that might be the best album of the year.
Yeah, and the Raekwon album is one of those albums you're going to play by yourself. You're probably not going to be with all your boys playing that. That's more one of those, like, kind of like an old-school Nas album. Just kind of like chilling by yourself, listening
to
that album,
I like,
right?
my favorite song on there, I think, is called Broken Safety. Huh?
I like that. I like the tribute to ODB. That's a pretty good track, too.
Yeah. So,
all right, well, I got a top five question for you. Last time you were on the show, it was easy. Top five favorite albums of all time. I mean, it's kind of a tough question, but you can maybe pick 10. Here's the question for you. And I'm going to give you mine first, and then you tell me what you think, and you're going to give me yours.
Okay.
What are your top five or six favorite albums that you have, but when you show it to your boys and you play it for your boys, they're like, or girls too, boy, that album is whack. And here's my five, and they're interesting. Any album by AZ, because I feel he's just too overlooked. Lil Zane, Young World, I think that's a great album no one knows about, really. Mike Geronimo, Vendetta, came out in 97, produced mostly by Havoc. Jay-Z's actually on a track. Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, Make It Rain. Remember that with
yeah.
that Deja Vu.
Uh-huh.
And Camp Lo. I don't know if you remember them. Uptown Saturday Night. It's called Antoine Lucini. Those are my five. Now, surprisingly, your five that you know no one really talks about under the radar, but Wilson Chandler loves them.
I'm gonna go with Wu-Tang 36 Chambers.
Okay.
I think you know they get respect, but I don't think they get enough respect like they should. That's one.
That's a tough one, right, Will?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I put you on the spot. Now you're stuck.
I'm not stuck. I think any Benny Siegel album, you know, is underrated.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree.
So I'm gonna go with any Benny Siegel. So that's two. The Firm album.
You know, so that's a great album, actually. That you know, it's weird because when Dre said. Fell off by the Firm flop on Forgot About Dre. I listen to the Firm album. And I basically love almost every track on that album.
Yeah, I think I think Nostradamus, Nas, with Project Windows, that CD, Nostradamus.
Yep.
I think that's an underrated CD as
well. I wrote that to you today on the computer. Did you copying me on that?
No, I didn't see that.
under the Nas thing you posted. I wrote that, and someone wrote to me like, "Oh, you crazy Nostradamus?" I'm like, "No, Nostradamus." Is a very good album. It's kind of a deep album, but it's very good.
Yeah, I think it's tight. So that's four. My fifth album. An underrated album. Underrated album. I'm going to go. man. I'm trying to think here. Underrated album. My fifth one.
Great one by Nostradamus, though. That's a great underrated album.
And The Firm, I think that was a great one, too.
Did you ever listen to Warren G, his first album?
Yes, Warren.
I love that album.
Yeah, Warren G is tight. Man, what an underrated city. I don't know. I mean, if I go West Coast, I'm going to have to go with the Dog Pound. I mean, I thought that album was underrated, the first album, Dog Food.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like from the Sunset Park soundtrack, that song Just Doggin.
Yeah.
I like that. I like playing that in my car. That's actually a good soundtrack, the Sunset Park soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's got Mobb Deep on it. And I like Mobb Deep's old stuff. I don't think Mobb Deep and G-Unit was a good mix, because Havoc has his particular beats that he does, and I don't think it really mixed with G-Unit, but that's just my opinion.
yeah, you're right. I think The Massacre was an underrated album myself. I thought it was a pretty good album.
You know, I thought it was decent, but I think the problem with The Massacre was that Get Rich or Die Trying was so damn good that it was hard to top that.
Yes, I mean, that's anything whatever 50 does from now on, it's going to be hard, you know, to top that. So I think even if he makes a great album, it's going to be underrated because everybody expects to Get Rich or Die Try.
All right, now here's another good hip-hop question for before I let you go in a few minutes. Well, this is a great one. I know you're a diehard hip-hop fan, so am I, like diehard. Like, I know all my stuff from back in the day. Like I said, I'm kind of out of the loop now. But, all right, if Biggie and Pac were alive, what would they be doing now? Would Pac still be with Death Row? Would Biggie still be rolling with Puffy? Would Jay-Z be the man? What would happen if those two were alive right now?
I mean, it's hard.
No, you don't know the exact answer.
I was actually watching an interview by Snoop he was doing with Green Lantern. And he was actually saying that for hip-hop to grow, you know, he think that Biggie and Tupac were, like, the sacrifices.
Interesting. Do you think that Biggie still would have rolled with Puffy through the years, or do you think they would have stayed a team?
I think so, because I think they had that kind of relationship, you know. But you never know. You know, you think God's going to be together forever. You know, Dame Dash, Jay-Z broke up.
Yeah, you never thought that was going to happen.
The Diplomats broke up, you know. You never know what could happen. So, you know, but I think they had that relationship where they would have been together. But the Death Row thing, I can't see that working out. Everybody wanted to get out of there, and I can't see just one person wanting to stay. Like, you know, eventually I think that would have broke apart.
Yeah, music in that time period from like 93 to like 98 with the Death Row stuff, the Bad Boy, there was a lot of good music out there then. I mean, nothing like the new stuff now to me. I mean, a lot of that Bad Boy stuff back then, a lot of people don't like it, you know, because Puffy, you know, he kind of brought hip-hop with the R&B hooks and stuff. I love that stuff.
I mean, myself, I mean, I thought it was great, you know, with the Mace, you know, and all that, you know, and Total, the remixes, Craig,
oh,
Matt
yeah,
remix. I thought all that was good.
Yeah, I'm a huge Mace fan. I love Harlem. I can't even say Harlem World is underrated because I think, you know, if you like hip hop, I mean Harlem.
Nah,
World is
underrated. I don't think that's an underrated album.
No.
I think he was an underrated lyricist. I don't think the album was underrated though.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a great album. Well, and if you could see one hip hop artist that was popular, say, 10 to 12 years ago, kind of falling off, make a comeback, who would it be?
That's falling off?
Yeah, it's
so,
kind of falling off the last 5-6 years.
I think Method Man. I think Method Man still got it.
Yeah, Method Man is funny. Did you hear about he got in some trouble with the IRS or something a few weeks ago?
No, I didn't hear that.
It's pretty funny. Like, he got in trouble with the IRS. I guess he didn't pay his taxes for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
So he was in court, and there's no joke. So they say, you know, Clifford Smith, you know, how come you didn't pay your taxes? And, you know, Matthew's a you know funny dude. He goes, because I was too high. He actually said it in court. That's hysterical right there.
That's
Method Man right there.
Yeah, that's classic. I think Method Man, if some people say, nah, so I don't think he fell off drastically, but if that's what people say, I think he could come back and make a great album.
Yeah, no, a guy like Nas, yeah, I thought his last album was, you know, wasn't his best work, but because he's so talented, what Nas needs to do is kind of, like, make an album, like, it was written part two, something like that,
yeah.
And talk about that same stuff, go back, like, or call it, like, Nas, The Return of Escobar, or something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe you and I will get this out to Nas. What do you think about that? Nas, Return of Escobar. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, Nasty Nas.
Yeah, like return back. Like a lot of guys do that. Like you know, Jay-Z did the Blueprint 3. You know, go back to what made you high. And that was like, you know, it was written when he was Esco. Esco was the man. Like Nas, when he became all those other people.
I think whenever Detox is finished, it would be hot.
The last 10 years, Dre's been working on that apparently.
Yeah, so I mean, I think I think it would be hot because you know he has the beats first of all. Then he has the people around him. He got Eminem. He got Snoop. I mean, you're gonna get Jay Z, you're gonna get 50, Game. You know what I mean? You get the hottest rappers out. You know who doesn't want to do a song with Dre over his beat? So you know, I think he's gonna be hot.
I was actually listening to Crying 2001 the other day. So anyway, Will, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure having you on, Will. You do a great job talking hoops and of course talking music. And best of luck, you know, in the next few games coming up. And obviously, I'll be seeing you next Friday versus the Clippers.
Okay, appreciate it.
No doubt. That was starting guard/forward Wilson Chandler here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I want to thank Will for joining us here on TKB Radio, theKnicksBlog.com. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in 35 seconds here on thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, 646-478-5554. Give me a call. We're back here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, a little California love for it. Since we were talking about some hip-hop and some old-school music, I just popped on California love here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. If you just tuned in, we just had Wilson Chandler on the line the last half hour, so I'll post the archive on TheKnicksBlog.com, on Facebook and Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls, and follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Always thank Wilson Chandler for joining us. And we talked about a lot of stuff going on with the New York Knicks. It was a great interview by Will. And yeah, obviously, you know the number, 646-478-5554. We'll definitely take a couple calls. And, yeah, so, you know, like Will said, there's a lot of, you know, the team is looks like it's finally gelling right now. There's really not many problems going on. Obviously, you know, we don't know what's going on with Nate Robinson and Mike D'Antoni. And whether Will knows or not, he's not going to speak about it publicly. And I don't blame him, but as my job, I have to ask him. Now, and Larry Hughes is going to join us here on TheKnicksBlog.com tomorrow night. And I'll ask Larry the same thing. It's part of me doing my job. And these guys respect it. I'm going to say, is Nate Robinson a problem? And, you know, they're probably not going to give me an answer, but, you know, you have to do your job. 646-478-5554 is the number. You know the drill. I'll say your area code and state your name and where you're calling from. Let's take some calls. Got about 25 minutes left here on TKB Radio. Let's talk some Knicks and some NBA. Allen Iverson making his return to Philly. You know, the Philadelphia 76ers lost their 10th game in a row. But you know what? I think it's great for basketball that Allen Iverson is back in Philly, and that's where he should be. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go to area code 914. You're on the air at TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hi, this is Nathan from Preflin.
What's up, Nate?
Hey, it was a great interview with Wilson Chandler. I like what he said.
Thank you.
Since they've been playing so well the last week and beat the Hawks and Blazers, do you think they should stick with the current roster the rest of the year?
Well, I think when you're winning, you should stick with whatever you're doing. And if you're winning and guys are coming to game dressed like aliens, you know what, Nate, you do it. So I do think, you know, you're going to mix some stuff up. And bottom line, the Knicks aren't going undefeated the rest of the year. I do think eventually, unless he gets traded or something, Nate Robinson will play again. But, yeah, as of right now, Mike, you know, the last five games, Knicks are playing well, winning some games. Yeah, they're definitely going to stick with what they're doing. Although, maybe, like Will said, maybe you'll see Nate get in the game on Friday.
So, you think they might try and get rid of Nate before the...
If there's this much of a rift here with Mike D'Antoni and Nate Robinson and Donnie Walsh is aware, and obviously Nate Robinson is a human being. I'm sure he wants to be a New York Knick, but also Nate Robinson loves the game of basketball and probably wants to play, and if that's the case, then if they can work out a trade, Nate has no trade clause in his contract, so he would have to approve of it. So if there's the right trade in the city that Nate wants to go, I'm sure Nate would love a trade, especially if he knows he's going to get to play.
Yeah, I hope he stays on next, but if he...
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like Nate. I think he definitely needs to grow up a little bit, but, you know, if the Knicks are 17-5, those problems that Nate has aren't as big a deal. 646-478-5554. Nate, we thank you for the phone call here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Nate, always a good caller. We're going to talk to Chris Alvano from TheKnicksBlog.com in a few minutes. Just want to take a few more calls before we get to Chris. Chris does a great job for TheKnicksBlog.com. Let's take one more call before we get to Chris. Let's go to area code 347. You're on the air at TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Tony.
Tony, this is Tony. Yeah, this is Tony.
How you doing, bro? Great show.
Thank you.
Wanted to ask you a question.
What's your name? I'm
Jason.
Jason, where are you calling from?
From the Bronx.
Oh, okay. I never heard your call before. Nice to have you.
Yeah, thanks, bro. Since we talked, the guy you were just talking to was asking about a trade. Nate Robinson for Tyrese Thomas seems like the obvious because, you know,
they make the same amount, more or less, yeah.
More or less, and the Bulls pick up, you know, that score off the bench that they lost.
But the Bulls have an abundance of guards, though, but you're right. Losing Ben Gordon, they can use a score off the bench. That's a good idea. Straight up, maybe.
Another trade also that I can see Donnie, this is easy for Donnie, is definitely Jared Jeffries for Mike James from Washington Wizards.
Yeah, from a contractual standpoint, I believe James expires at the end of the year, correct? So,
correct.
And the Knicks, you know what, Jared, you know, the Knicks might want to keep Jared Jeffries just because of the little things that he does, but to be honest, if the Knicks could unload Jared, they would do it in a heartbeat, let's be honest about that.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, we want to get cap space, of course.
But here's the thing, Jason from the Bronx. Every team in the league wants to have cap space. The only teams that don't care about cap space right now are, like, the Cavs probably don't care, the Lakers probably don't care. You know, a lot of teams don't care about cap. I mean, a lot of teams care about cap space. So, I don't know what the Wizards situation is right now. I really don't feel like looking at numbers either, to be honest, unless you
right.
You know. Every team is trying. That's why, you know, there's some talk that, you know, would the Rockets take Eddie Curry because Yao Ming is not playing, even though the young center is playing good down there. Would the Rockets, would Portland take Eddie Curry or Jared Jeffries? But here's the thing. Every team is trying to put themselves – the Knicks, you know, just because the Knicks get the most publicity for trying to get under the cap, every team is trying to get under the salary cap to go after free agents in 2010. Because remember, do yourself a favor and, you know, go see the free agents this summer. It's not just LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Amari Stoudemire and Chris Bosh. There's 40 guys that are going to be available.
Right.
So every team is trying to put themselves in a position to be under the cap in 2010. That's why, you know, could Jeffries for James happen? Maybe. But every team is trying to save every penny they can for this summer and the shopping sprees that they're going to try to go on.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Tone. You got a great show, man. Keep it up.
Well, all right, man. Hit me up. Facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls, brother.
All right, brother.
All right, Jason. 646-478-5554 is the number. And right now on the line, he's a contributor to theKnicksBlog.com. He contributes on the show from time to time when I let him get some airtime. Hell, when I let anybody get some airtime, obviously, Tommy D runs the website, theKnicksBlog.com. Check it out every hour for daily Knicks updates. And Chris Alvano is one of the guys who writes the blog, does a good job. And like I said, every now and then I let Chris get some airtime. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Anthony, man, thanks for the shout-out.
Nah, anytime, man. You do a great job. How are you?
Appreciate it. I'm good, man. I'm actually up in Rochester right now.
Rochester, I've been there a few times.
Ooh, man.
Actually, many times.
It is cold up here in Rochester.
Yeah,
so,
it is. It's cold here, actually, too, Chris. So, yeah, but I'm sure it's much colder up there.
Yeah, it's pretty cold up here. Just to comment quickly on the last caller and talking about, you know, obviously the Wizards situation. I think what makes them a little bit different than a lot of these other teams is that they're kind of stuck with Arenas, they're kind of stuck with Jameson, and they're kind of stuck with Butler. They're not really in it for this offseason's free agent class. So, I mean, I can definitely see where the last caller was coming from, but, you know, you're right. You know, obviously all these other teams want free agent.
The Knicks are the only team that it publicizes as much. Oh, the Knicks want to get onto the cap. But, you know,
right.
Like I said, there's 50 or 60 free agents that are good basketball players. Every team, for the most part, is trying to get under the cap next summer.
Right. I mean, yeah, and there's no denying it. And that's why a team like Houston isn't going to – and let's get one thing clear with Curry. No team's going to take him until he proves that he could play for the rest of the season.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, even though he's in shape now, he's lost a lot of weight, he only played a few games. He played versus Indiana, New Jersey, then Boston, and he hasn't played since. So even though he's
right.
in shape and he's lost the whole person, he still hasn't been healthy yet.
Right. He has to prove that he could stay healthy. And, you know, being in shape is one thing. Being thin is one thing. But
you're right.
You have to prove that you could, you know, your body could hold up. And until he proves he could do that, no one's going to take him on for, A, the rest of this year, and, B, all of next year. It's just not going to happen.
You know, maybe even a – you know, you bring up a team, for example, a Portland team. You know, I think there's a chance that someone could take a Jared Jeffries, though, because of – what he does, but once again, it is $6 million that you're going to add to your cap for next year. And don't, you know, so is there a chance that someone could take Jared? Hell, there's a chance that someone could take Eddie. Maybe Portland gets desperate come the deadline. You know, they need a big man who can score, and they convince management to go after Eddie Curry. I mean, is that going to happen? Probably not, but is it possible? Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is with Jeffries is that he's versatile enough to play multiple spots. He's versatile enough to come off the bench and back up both forward spots. He's versatile enough to play the five. That's the other thing that Jeffries has thrown in his favor, as opposed to a guy like Curry, who, you know, he is what he is. He's a pretty much a one-dimensional center.
We're getting a little mean now. Did you hear the interview with Wilson?
I did. I did, and he's
what did
right.
You think?
After a
could
couple
you critique
of...
me up? Could you critique me, Mr. Bob Raceman? No, I was kidding. What did you think of the interview?
I thought it was fantastic, and just really quickly, Dito's is the spot. Dito's is
the spot.
I love it.
It's Pelham, right?
It's Pelham. It's
okay.
I think it's technically Pelham over there. It's close to Pelham, New Rochelle, around there.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure where it technically is, but Dito's is.
Do you think as like a you know, obviously I had Wilson on for a half hour. That's a, you know anybody that not to knock my boy Wilson. Anybody that's seen his post game interviews, and if I were to tell you I would do a 1-on-1 interview with Wilson Chandler for a half hour, you would laugh in my face. I mean, come on, you know, nothing against Will, but you've seen his post game interviews. They're not very long. They're pretty one word.
Yeah, not really. But I guess when you get him off of a post game, you get him into an interview situation like that. It kind of comes out a little bit. The personality
As a fan, Chris, and put the KnicksBlog.com, you know, aside. Did you like the music stuff? Do you think a lot of fans enjoy that type of stuff to get a little bit more insight of what the player is into, what the player does besides play basketball?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, for example, I'm only 22 years old, and you know, Wilson Chandler's probably only, you know, he actually might be 22 years old.
Yeah,
he's
23.
Yeah, he's 22, 23. You know, he's the same age as me, so you know, it's definitely interesting to see what a guy like that is into, because, you know, let's be honest, he's probably into a lot of the same stuff I'm into, so.
Yeah, same with me.
Too.
I'm a little older than you guys. I'm 26, and when I was a kid, even still today, and because of Twitter and Facebook and even MySpace and all these other outlets, I always wondered when I was, and we didn't know this when I was a kid because there wasn't many outlets and mediums, you know, what is Latrell Sprewell listening to on the way to the game? You know, it's stuff like that. You want to know about your favorite players. What does you know? What fires up Brandon Jacobs? Where does this guy like to eat dinner? And not because you want to go follow him, because you're curious. And I think also because of all the shows now and all the outlets and the Twitters and the Facebooks. You know, I think fans want to know. Now if you're gonna go to any of these restaurants and try to stalk Wilson, well, that's a problem. But you know, it's nice to know what's his favorite steak or something like that. You know, because I think fans like to know that stuff.
Well, I mean, it's definitely aside from hearing about all that stuff, it was definitely good to hear what Wilson had to say about the team and how they've been sacrificing, you know, individually for the betterment of the team. And I mean, if you've watched the games, like obviously you have, I have, you know, and pretty much most fans have, you've definitely seen sacrifices with these guys. Take Al Harrington, for example. I mean, how many three-pointers has he heaven up now, you know, the last few games?
He hasn't much, man. I love when he doesn't shoot threes.
Right, and he's been taking the ball to the rack, and he's been taking it hard, and I mean, look at that. He's almost unstoppable when he takes it to the rack. A guy that size with that kind of handle.
You know, to be honest, Al was ticking me off early in the season, and it's still early in the season, Chris, and we're talking to Chris Alvano here on theKnicksBlog.com. Chris, a contributor to theKnicksBlog.com, does a phenomenal job. I like Al Harrington. I want to keep Al Harrington, but the first 10, 15 games, I mean, Al was chucking up shots from half court, but when Al, and, you know, and considering the thing that bothered me the most is that over the summer, Al Harrington put on a lot of muscle. So I'm like, this guy put on all this muscle, worked his ass off over the summer. Why is he chucking threes? Al, go on the block, go to the hole, and score. And that's what he's doing now. And that's why I think Al Harrington could be around next year. And I'm not going to start getting into the LeBron and Dwayne Wade stuff right now. It just makes me nauseous right now because we got still got a long way to go. But if you have a star player and Al Harrington is your second or third or even fourth scorer, that's pretty damn good.
Well, that and another thing that Al Harrington's shown, obviously he's been starting the last few games, but one thing that he has definitely shown is that he's effective off the bench. And he could come in and back
and
up one of these big-time stars. Right.
Yeah, and obviously
he accepts his role.
Yeah, and that's, you know, because obviously next year if Al stays around. That's why when I first, heard the rumor, Chris, for Tyrus Thomas for Al Harrington, I didn't believe it just because, I mean, are the Knicks interested in Tyrus Thomas? Probably. But I didn't think that, Donnie, you still need veterans, you still need guys. And I think, besides the fact you have to pay Tyrus Thomas $6 million for next year, I think you can get Al Harrington for cheaper. And I know Donnie Walsh loves Al Harrington, and I know Donnie Walsh wants to keep Al Harrington. So that's why I didn't, and I'm sure there was substance to it, but that's why I just didn't see that going down.
Right. And to be honest with you, when I first heard the rumor, I wasn't too thrilled about it because, in all seriousness, I'm not sure that Tyrus Thomas for the rest of this year is going to help the Knicks more than.
Yeah, and then what's the point if you don't keep him?
Will. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I don't really. I mean, the Knicks might make a trade this year either to unload Jared or Eddie, or if there's the right fit, you know, they might do it. But one guy I talked with Wilson about a lot, and a guy who I've been praising all year, over the summer I got called stupid and idiot, is Larry Hughes. This guy has been the utmost professional. He's not going to shoot the lights out of the gym. He'll get hot. You know, he's a very straight shooter. He clanks a lot of shots off the rim. Bottom line is Larry Hughes is a professional. Larry Hughes brings it on the defensive end every night. He's handled his role excellent. Larry Hughes did not play the first two games. And this is a former All-Star who is still in the top five in the NBA in steals, handled like a professional, and to me has been nothing but a professional with the New York Knicks. And I think he deserves a lot of credit.
Well, Anthony, would you agree? Is it arguable that he is possibly the best player the Knicks have had this season?
Yeah, you can make that case. And the thing about Larry
is, okay,
yeah, and look, okay, would I maybe rather have Jamal Crawford? Probably. But here's the thing about Jamal. And Larry, every now and then, will go 0 for 10, don't get me wrong. Larry's going to bring it defensively every night, 82 games a year, where Jamal, nothing, and I don't know why I'm comparing him to Jamal, just because he was our last two guard. Jamal doesn't. Larry brings it on the defensive end every night and gets steals every night. When the Knicks haven't had that from a two-guard spot, really since John Starks, you know, because Latrell played the three.
Right. And that's been, I mean, if you ask me, that's been one of the biggest keys to – Larry Hughes has been one of the biggest keys to – obviously, the Knicks haven't had a ton of success this year. I'm not about to go overboard.
Yeah, and like, they haven't turned anything around yet. You know, if they go into the Clipper game – okay, there's three games. Wow, the Knicks have a lot of days off the next week and a half.
Right.
If they can win even two of the next three going to the Clipper game next Friday, then maybe we can start to get, you know, some sort of ball rolling. Because like I said this throughout the show, Chris – in the last 8 or 9 years being a Knicks fan, it hasn't been easy. And there's been a few times where they've won 3 or 4 in a row, 4 to 5, 6 of 8, and you're like, all right, they're turning around. And know what's happened after those 6 of 8 or 4 or 5 or 3 in a row, Chris? They've lost 10 in a row. So
right,
I've
exactly.
seen this before. And that's why I try to ask Wilson, you know, what's different this time? And Wilson thinks that the guys are hungrier, more together, and want to prove people wrong.
Right. Well, one last quick point, then I know you probably have a ton of callers on the line. And, you know,
and
they
well,
all,
let me ask
they
you,
get...
before you make your point, do you think the Knicks can turn the season around, salvage something, and maybe, you know, compete for a playoff spot come March? Do you
well,
think they
actually...
can, or is this 4 to 5 streets just an admiration? What is Chris
well, that's actually what I was just that's actually just what I was about to talk about.
Okay, speak, brother.
As of right now, to be
Preach.
Honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they could absolutely turn it around. Because, like you said, I mean, I've been watching the Knicks for how many years, and every year they'll win 4 out of 5, then lose
the next 10.
Eight of the next 10, right?
Yeah.
But with the style of play the Knicks have used over the last few games, and if you haven't noticed, the Knicks have played much, much, much better in the half court. Obviously, because of the likes of a guy like Al Harrington taking the ball to the rim instead of heaving up threes, a guy like Larry Hughes taking the ball to the rim. You know, different guys have excelled more in the half-court game over the last few games. Now, and obviously, you know, you've talked about Jeffries and you've talked about Hughes, but other guys have actually stepped up their defense over the last few games. Now, if the Knicks could keep up that style of play, especially over the next month, and I made a post about this the other day, the Knicks have a favorable schedule for the rest of December. They have a chance to really make a statement for the rest of December. And if they continue playing the style of play and continue playing with the intensity that they've played with the last few games, they absolutely have a chance to jump back into it. But until they prove to me that they can keep up the intensity and keep, you know, I guess what it is they have to keep their heads on. Until they prove that, you know, I'm not going to say for sure that they're back in the playoffs. But, you know, deep down in my heart, you know, of course I think they can make it to the playoffs. You know, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm not going to believe that they're out until they're officially out. So that's
definitely
my take.
I agree, Chris. Chris, want to thank you for the knowledge. Thanks for checking in with me on TKB Radio. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for checking in. Have fun up in Rochester, brother.
All right, Anthony. Thanks a lot. And thanks a lot to all the fans that read and support the blog. And have a good night, everybody.
You got it. That was Chris Alvano of TheKnicksBlog.com appearing here on TKB Radio. Everybody, make sure to tune into 1050 ESPN Radio tomorrow. And obviously 10 to 12 every day as you tune into the Brandon Tierney Show. Tomorrow, I believe 10:25, Brandon's going to have, I don't know what you want to call this guy, ex-NBA ref Tim Donaghy, who was just on 60 Minutes. He's going to be on with Brandon Tierney. If you know one thing, Brandon's not going to let him off easy. So Tim Donaghy, former NBA disgraced ref, will be on the Brandon Tierney Show tomorrow at about 10:25, and obviously the show is every Monday to Friday, 10 to 12 here on 1050 ESPN Radio. So definitely tune into that with BT and Tim Donaghy. I can't wait to hear what BT is going to ask Tim Donaghy. You know BT don't pull any punches, and BT is a guy who's been on this show many times here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, 646-478-5554. One thing a lot of people say is about the Knicks get, you know, David Lee inflates his numbers, or this guy inflates his numbers because of the system, quote. Here's the thing about that. The Knicks don't push the ball very much. Chris Duhon walks the ball up the court almost every time. They push the ball a little bit when Larry's running the point, or Tony is, but they don't push the ball much. So I don't really understand that much. And they don't take quick shots, so it's really not more possessions. They're not the Phoenix Suns. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go to area code 646. You're on the line. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Area code 646, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, man? All right, area code 646 is not there. 646-478-5554 is the numbers on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. If you want to call in, talk some Knicks, talk some NBA, talk some hoops. It's been a fun show here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. If you're just tuning in, Wilson Chandler was on me for 30 minutes, and you know, Wilson's not the biggest talker in the world, but I think when he's on with anybody, basically when he's on with me, Wilson talks. We talked a lot of Knicks stuff, a lot of NBA stuff, and we talked a lot about music, which is something dear to my heart, dear to Will's heart, knows his stuff, and we talked a lot about that with the starting guard/forward, Wilson Chandler of the New York Knicks here on TKB Radio, of TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. 646-478-5554 is the number. I think Friday night is a big game for the Knicks. I think fans want to cheer. Obviously, the fans, you know, watching on TV Friday, unless you're going to make the trip to New Orleans, or, you know, the Knicks fans that are down in the Big Easy. But I think if you want to see something started, now I'm not going to, you know, the Knicks can lose Friday and win the next 10 after that. They probably won't do that, but let's not push it. But I think over the next, you know, 5 to 8 games, you know, is there a chance the Knicks win 6 of the next 8? Maybe. I'm not so sure. But I look at the next 3 games, you want to win at least 2 of the next 3 going to next Friday's game versus the Clippers. You win all 3, that's great. And I think you could, you know, Friday night at New Orleans is definitely a winnable game. Tuesday against the Bobcats, definitely winnable. And then Friday, next Thursday versus the Bulls. You know, the Bulls have not played very good basketball this year. The Bulls don't even guard people when they're tying their sneakers. If I don't know if you saw the game when the Bulls were playing the Raptors, and Jared Jack was actually tying his sneakers, calling isolation play, and nobody picked up on him when the play was going on. You have to see it to believe it. So, you know, and the Clippers is a winnable basketball game. After the Clippers, you're home against, you know, home against the Clippers, home against the Bobcats, back home against the Bulls, and home on Christmas Day versus Miami. These are all winnable basketball games. Now, the Knicks going to win all of them? Probably not, just because they won't, in law of averages. But, you know, can the Knicks make a dent in the standings and get closer to 500, get closer to salvaging this season? I think they can. Like I said, if you're just tuning in now here on the TKB Radio, the Knicks Blog Radio, the TheKnicksBlog.com, I'll post in the archives the interview with Wilson Chandler tonight. Friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Obviously, the TheKnicksBlog.com is run by Tommy Yu, does a great job. Follow him on Twitter, Tommy D. D-E-E, Tommy D, T-K-B, that's Tommy D, T-K-B on Twitter. Follow Tommy, follow me, AnthonyMSG, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Friend me, you know, ask me Nick questions, whatever you want, you know, hit me up, you know, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. And like I said, to start the show, Knicks are playing better basketball, winners of 4 of the last 5. And one game I want to go back to is the day after Thanksgiving when the Knicks played in Denver. They played a tough game down in Denver, almost won. It was the Knicks, I believe it was their 4th loss in a row before losing to Orlando, which made it 5, and the streak ended on Tuesday night versus the Suns last week when they blew them out of the building at the world's most famous. Is that some people the next day after losing to the Nuggets were kind of excited, well, the Knicks played well. Well, I wasn't, just because I've seen that before. I've seen bad teams play well against good teams. But now looking back to that Nuggets game, and considering the Knicks have won 4 of the last 5 and 4 of 6 overall since that Nuggets game, okay, maybe that was the start of something because they played well that night. And then, you know, even before that, you go back to the Boston game a week prior to that, losing at the buzzer. That was nothing less than demoralizing. So I think, you know, could the Knicks be heading in the right direction now? I'm not sure. But what I do know is they've won 4 or 5, won 3 in a row, going for 4 in a row on Friday, and bottom line is that's good. Because usually on a Friday night, when you're a Knicks fan, you're going for 4 losses in a row. And if you're going for 4 wins in a row, well, man, toast the champagne glass, because that's a good thing here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. It's been a great show, as always. I want to thank all the callers, thank all the fans, thank starting guard slash forward and my pal of mine, Wilson Chandler, for joining me on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Tomorrow night, we're right back on the air, same time, same place, live at the TKB Radio Studios. We're going to be joined by, I guess he's starting guard, sixth man, maybe the MVP of the New York Knicks so far. Larry Hughes will be on the show tomorrow night on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. So a lot of fans over the last few weeks have said, Anthony, when are you going to get some Knicks players on? Well, got one tonight. I'll have one tomorrow. You asked for it, you got it. So tune in tomorrow night. I want to thank all the listeners, thank all the callers, especially thank Wilson Chandler. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And you know the deal, TheKnicksBlog.com, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Have a safe ride home if you're driving, which you're probably not because it's internet radio. But have a good night, everybody. Take care. Breaking them down, then we laugh.